And there's also an argument that just collecting every piece of data under the sun is not sustainable. That is a cloud computing nightmare.
Hello, and welcome to the Business of Sustainability podcast, the latest show in partnership with Future Plus and City AM. My name's Mike Penrose, and I'm joined here by my co-host and fellow founder of Future Plus, Alex Smith. I'm excited to introduce our guest for today's show, Jessica Bonner, Director at Capita Scaling Partners, and Jonjo Hobbs, Managing Director at Capita Procurement Solutions. In this episode, we'll be discussing how supply chains and how organizations best manage sustainability in procurement. Jessica, Jonjo, thanks for joining us. And Alex, over to you.
Well, thank you ever so much for joining us both today. It'd be great to have, if you could introduce yourselves and give us a bit of background to how you got to where you are today.
Certainly. Thank you for inviting us. So I'm Jonjo. I run Capita's procurement consulting business. That's the client-facing procurement capability that Capita has. I've been with Capita for 12 years. So I think that's the short introduction to myself.
Thank you very much for having us today. I'm Jessica Bonner. I'm a director with Capita Scaling Partner. I've been with Capita, 5.5 years now. My background is commercial. I worked in finance. I qualified as a commercial lawyer before I came into Scaling Partner, where we work with basically SME partners and help Capita and our clients work better with SME technology.
Can you give a little bit more? I think people may be somewhat familiar with Capita. They've probably come across it over the years. But the Capita Scaling Partners, can you give a bit more explanation around what the aim of it is and how it works?
Yeah. So I came in right at the beginning. So it was basically founded 5.5 years ago as a way for Capita to understand and access SME technology better. Some great ideas come out of big corporates, but the really innovative stuff generally comes from SMEs. Incentivization tends to work better. Companies can be really agile. And we were looking for a way to better access that. And as Capita is a huge network. It's got enormous numbers of clients, huge public sector presence, lots and lots of suppliers. What we realized is it wasn't just us that was looking to access that technology, it was the whole market. And we had a really unique position where we could basically provide a conduit between the two things. And we do it through a resources for equity model, because we've realized that incentivization of these things is extremely important, and only by aligning the interests of Capita and large enterprises with the SME, were we going to be able to basically have the best outcomes.
Amazing. And maybe, although saying people may be familiar with Capita, Jonjo, can you give a bit of background as to what Capita's aim is? Can you sort of summarize that in a nutshell?
In a nutshell. nutshell may be hard. I think, look, at the highest level, it's a company that focuses on delivering services that improve the quality of the lives of the citizens in the UK. I mean, that's the highest level sort of summary you can have. But if you drop down through the levels, there is such a plethora of services and capabilities that sit there, from working across health, defence, local government, central government, all the way through into the private sector in terms of the customer experience division. It's a vast amount of people capabilities. It's 50 odd thousand people doing a whole bunch of stuff.
Amazing. And I suppose, going back to Capita Scaling Partners, what have you found to be valuable for startups to understand about working with companies like Capita and corporates and vice versa? I'm sure you've probably come across some sort of fairly good lessons or challenges that sort of come up over and over again.
Yes, definitely. There's big enterprises and SMEs talking quite different languages, particularly when it comes to timescales and the number of people that need to be involved. Like, you will probably have more people at a large enterprise working on one project with an SME than there are people in that SME. Small organizations are constantly astounded at the number of different departments that are involved in procurement and the number of different people you have to get buy-in from in order to be able to do anything. And it means that timescales are always going to take longer than a small organization wants and sometimes can handle. So understanding as much of that as possible up front is really important and is often misunderstood, I guess. The other problem is often people within these large enterprises don't necessarily know the full governance process themselves. So there's a learning exercise across everybody involved. And if as an SME, and you can ask those questions and try and get as much of the information gathering up front, it makes it much easier for everybody involved. One key piece of information as well that actually my head of sales shared with me a few years ago, there's sort of two key different ways that large enterprises sort of make budget and decision making, either completely centralized, where every time you want to do anything, you've got to go back to a big central pot, or it's more disaggregated. Find out which it is really early on, because it will dictate all of your governance, and sometimes people aren't entirely sure what the answer is themselves. And by finding that out, you're at least going to understand what the timescales look like when you start.
And in particular, regards to sustainability, you know, we're seeing a lot now of large organizations, especially those that procure from government, making very large pledges. But obviously, the majority of their supply chain is going to be SMEs working to them. How have you seen the landscape shift recently in terms of how big companies relate to SMEs and how SMEs are responding to the demands that are effectively being cascaded down upon them?
I think it's never been a better time to be an SME trying to develop and grow your business and break into servicing either the public or the private sector. Technology enables contact and awareness. You know, a Google search can throw you up as an SME as much as it can throw up anybody. But also, I think on the other side, on the buying side, there is an absolute desire to find the best companies. So I had a CPO who said to me, I don't care if you're five men in a garage in Essex, it doesn't matter. If you're the best at what you do, I want to work with you. And I think that's a real change, because I think if you go back 10, 15 years, you just wouldn't even be able to find those SMEs. You wouldn't know they existed. So there's that. I also think the important piece on the large side, the corporate side, the central government side around sustainability is that there's an evolution that's happened. It's not new environmental focus. I can remember speaking with a council 15 years ago who were talking about spend it local agendas, understanding the economic impact of their money within their local community. It's much bigger now. ESG is an all-encompassing challenge, and I don't think anyone's actually got the defined product that says, hey, everyone, here it is. This is the one way you answer this question. So you've got an awful lot of desire from the buying side to go at that and understand that. And that's where I guess people like yourselves come into the scene. So I think it's a great time. I think it's a great time for SMEs.
And sort of linked to this, one of the really interesting things we're seeing at the moment, previously, as you said, quite rightly, you know, there'd be legislation passed on what big organizations were expected to do, and then it would cascade down slightly. With climate change, for example, scope 3 emissions, what we're seeing is large companies making very large pledges, but there isn't necessarily the cascade of resources down to the SMEs to fulfill those pledges, because obviously scope 3 and other things like modern slavery require the full supply chain to be engaged rather than just a high-level corporate pledge of a big FMCG firm, for example. And are you finding that large corporates or contractors to government are starting to recognize the requirement to support SMEs and to actually give them the capacity to give them the data they need to fulfill the pledges they're making to government?
Absolutely. You have to. You know, there's motivation as a corporate, there's motivation as societal motivation, but I also think there's, once you give people personal motivation, that's probably the thing that's going to kick it on the most. And I think you've got that in, you know, annual reports now have got big sections that say, what are we doing? And it's your name that's at the bottom of it. So there is definitely an increase in the input of support. I think one of the challenges SMEs have had across the board for years in engaging is the cost of engagement. Right? If you're trying to focus on your product and make your company have an amazing product, you don't want to be focusing on the cost of selling that product. That's a real challenge for you. And it's disproportionate, because sometimes to try to sell into a large corporate, it'll cost you a lot of money, and certainly to run a bid. So I think that has definitely changed. And there's a much bigger conversation going on with people like CCS around how do you enable the SME community to work with government. And I think so definitely there is a cascade. Doesn't more need to be done? Sure. And I think there are different ways that SMEs can look at that. They can look at things like partnering with larger corporations like ourselves. So frequently when we're responding to tenders, we will build consortiums that provide the answer. It's not just Capita. It might be us plus 10, 15 other companies. And that is a way for the SME community to gain that experience and to get access to large opportunities. So the answer is definitely yes.
Absolutely. And we've seen that, you know, several companies at the moment over the last 12 months, including, I think there was a recent report by WeWork as well, that shows that the vast majority of firms are talking about making greater investment in sustainability, and especially in their supply chain. But how important now is data
in this equation, and the ability to have what Alex often refers to ESG maturity in a system, you know, the data that backs it up, proof and evidence that you are doing what you say you're doing, because, you know, we see every day a greenwashing scandal coming out. So how much is that playing into the work that you're both doing?
Yeah, data is crucial, right? In pretty much every sector now, there's an understanding that only with data are you going to be able to make any sort of insightful decisions. And sustainability is, well, I don't know what actually the answer is. When you say investment, do you just mean like an investment in tools that will enable you to just move towards the sustainability?
Yeah, tools, but also the collection of the data. Yeah. Because, you know, as we were just alluding to there, it can often be a very, very complex undertaking, collecting data all the way along a supply chain. Mm. We find at the moment, especially, you can get one tier down, maybe, but if you're buying a product where, you know, the bits that make it up are coming from Asia or Africa or something, yeah, like that, how, especially SMEs, collection of that data is proving tough
very
and
difficult.
Tricky.
It's incredibly time consuming. And obviously, within a lot of contracts, you will have subcontractors, yeah, who are subcontracted to your providers. So tracking that all the way through and being sure of what you're then reporting about that relationship is incredibly difficult. So collection of data is a massive undertaking. Obviously, I think, you know, data, there are lots of companies out there who can support you with that data piece. And certainly Jess and I spend quite a lot of time looking at people who play with data. You know, it's something, being in procurement, clearly, my guys, I've got a team of people who are the client intelligence team, but it's the cornerstone, right? If you don't have your data, you can't derive the insights. If you can't derive the insights, you're not making the right decisions. So I think just about every company knows that if you're going to have a meaningful conversation, actually take steps forward, you've got to have prepared your source data that enables you to actually understand exactly who you are. And it's never the same. You can't just go to the shelves and buy one report. Every company is so different. And I know lots of people think we're similar, because once you lift that bonnet, so often they're just not. So you've got to take that own journey on yourself.
And Jess, I think on this, linked to this, you know, you're working with the SMEs directly. You're helping them scale to meet the requirements of, you know, the customers that John Joe you're helping to serve. How early on now in the conversation is that requirement for reporting, that requirement for data coming in with the SMEs?
Yeah, really, really early on, you know, because we have to understand who we're working with and we have to understand what data they're collecting. And there's an interesting debate, I'd say. There's enormous amounts of data being collected by all of these different businesses. And it's not necessarily directly relevant, but probably is a reasonable estimate for various other things. So ideally, you'd hit reset now, right? And you'd collect everything you possibly can, you know, all the pieces of data that you could possibly need to be able to make those decisions. But actually, you can probably look historically and be a bit more creative around the data that's there and use it in a way that's going to enable you to make those decisions at the same time as influencing maybe they should shift in terms of what they're collecting.
I also think it's really important, you know, don't suffer from data paralysis, right? Which is this massive desire. We've got to get everything understood before we do it. No. Yeah. Start, yeah. Right? Yeah. The data journey can happen in parallel with making some good logical steps. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're heavy on fleet, you can run a fleet project while you're accumulating all the rest of the data. So we see that quite a lot. You know, people are slightly nervous on this subject maybe, or they're going, we've got to get all of this together. There are things you can do whilst you're preparing, you know, the sort of perfect vision or view of yourself.
Yeah, we find this is a recurrent theme, and it's something that we talk about a lot, is that people are trying to measure everything, yeah, sometimes because it's easy. And we keep on coming back to, you should measure what is valuable to you as a business, what is going to push you forward. And not only don't just gain the data, but actually gain useful data that can be analyzed and used as intelligence, because that's where the value is. Otherwise, that's what you get to the paralysis, is everybody's trying to collect everything. It's too much. It doesn't make any sense. Nobody uses it. It goes, yeah, in a file somewhere, and it there's just no value to it. So yeah, it really looking at what you're doing seems to be across the board the key to actually making that movement forward.
And there's also an argument that just collecting every piece of data under the sun is not sustainable. that is a cloud computing nightmare. Yeah. You know, someone said to me the other day, cloud computing is just your data on someone else's computer. So if you're collecting everything with no consideration, yeah, as to what it's actually going to be useful for, that is not positive for the future of the planet either.
Nor good, nor good for your scope 1, 2, 3 reporting.
Or anything really.
And every piece of data requires analysis. And if you have too much data, analyzing it can become a complete nightmare. So it's knowing, as Alex said, what you need to collect and what's valuable to you, not just the plethora of questions that exist out there, most of which, if you can't relate it to your business model, we find don't bother collecting it.
So, you know, with your backgrounds of having working with SMEs, bringing them through the process, actually being the people that introduce them into those wider corporates, if they had to take some lessons from, you know, what it is, I know sort of you, the challenges they had, but what is it they should come to you and have those conversations about? Or what is it that you would like them to come to you and say, we're ready to start working with corporates. We think that we've got something. You guys have sort of sat in the middle. I'm sure you've got some incredible stories of success stories that have allowed that to happen. But what has been the product or the value that they have brought that they've been able to scale with?
I think one of the first things we ask when we're talking to SMEs about is their product relevant is what do they need from the relationship? You know, having a real honest conversation. What are you going to focus on? What do you need us to help you with? If you don't do that, then, you know, partnerships don't really kick on in the way that they should. Focus on the product journey. Understand, you know, they might arrive with V1 and you might instinctively know that the second iteration of that or the second release needs to be, you know, move into a certain different area. So understand that journey so that you can express that to the clients that we may have, that we may be introducing them to. Strengths and weaknesses, be honest, you know, I mean, that's another thing we often have to say to people, what are you not good at? You know, because if we're going to make this a success, we have to be honest around the holes that you need us to fill. So I think that's it. But a clear vision around the product. I mean, I think in particular in the area of sustainability at the moment, there's a great opportunity. I mean, it's a fantastic opportunity to do meaningful work, but also have a very good, you know, opportunity, you know, to grow a very good business. So it's exciting in that space at the moment. I think those are the things that I probably look for, but yours might be slightly different.
Yeah, no, similar. Maybe that focus point I think is really important, because if you're a small business going and talking to a large enterprise and that large enterprise may want to redesign small, if not large, chunks of what your product looks like, of what your go-to-market looks like, of what your distribution channels look like. And you have to have a really clear idea of what you're going to accept and what you're not, and where your red lines are. Because otherwise, you can end up building your business model around one client, and it can become then difficult to then apply that to others. So having that clear vision and that clear kind of focus of this is what we do and this is not what we don't do, or we don't have any interest in this is where our expertise lies, is really important.
Yeah.
I think that's really valuable across the board in terms of anyone that startups and SMEs work with. I think around grant funding was a conversation we were having the other day, and the amount of people that have started to build their SME are based around the grant, and then the grant runs out and suddenly they've got something that isn't quite fit for purpose anymore. So chasing the money rather than chasing the products. Yeah. I think that's really good advice across.
And I think it's just around doing your research, right? Don't base it on one. Like, obviously, if you're talking to an enterprise and people who know their sector inside out and know what they need, that is really useful. And I want to belittle that, but go and talk to 10 and make sure that they all say along the same lines. Yeah. So you're not basing it all on feedback from kind of one sector, really. Generally, you want to be talking to multiple sectors, multiple different sizes of organization.
I think in sustainability, I think the products can go pan-sector pretty quickly. I mean, you know, whether you're government or you're private sector and you're talking about, you know, your building, you know, is it energy efficient? You know, what's the footfall and all those sorts of things. It's a pretty consistent theme within sustainability. So I think that's probably that makes it even better, I suppose, doesn't it? You know, you don't have to go and bespoke too much around a lot of this stuff.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. That's all we've got time for, so a big thank you to Jess and to Jonjo from Capita for joining us. Please remember to hit the subscribe button for future episodes, and if you'd like to find out more about Future Plus or Capita, please look at the description below.